My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's great to have you back.
It's great to be back. Thank you for having me, Greg.
Well, plenty to talk about. For those who might be wondering where John was, he took a nice European vacation on the occasion of his anniversary, so we're glad he had that time off. And John, you came back to plenty of political fireworks going on, both on the presidential campaign trail and elsewhere. Let's just start with the most recent primaries in Kentucky and Arkansas. Pretty much we know who the nominees are going to be, but that didn't stop Kentucky and Arkansas Democrats from choosing in Kentucky. More than 40% chose uncommitted instead of the president. And in Arkansas, about 40% chose at least a national unknown and a guy named John Wolf, who's run for Congress unsuccessfully a couple of times. What's the message here?
Yes, John Wolf ran in another state unsuccessfully six times. Very simply, Barack Obama is only the second president since Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1936 on the Democratic side who is seeking renomination without an opponent. Now, that's all well and good, except in some states, candidates can get on the ballot, and in other cases, uncommitted is on the ballot. Certainly in the case of Kentucky and Arkansas, as you say, a surprisingly high number of voters registered their disapproval of the sitting president of their party by choosing these options. It's like saying none of the above. Now, as to what it means, I don't know. Add up the fact that just 2 weeks ago in West Virginia, 41% of the primary voters cast their ballots for a man who's incarcerated in a prison in Texas. And in North Carolina that same evening, 21% went for uncommitted over Barack Obama. Clearly, there's something in the water out there. And the National Journal concluded that centrist Democrats who embraced Bill Clinton and who really had high hopes for Barack Obama and the audacity of hope are being very much disappointed, dismayed by the greater role of government in everyday lives, dismayed by his failure to move back to the middle, as President Clinton would have done, dismayed by the fact that the Third Way, a centrist Democratic group, has come up with alternative plans that urge the president to stay away from class warfare and talk about fairness, and they've all been rejected. This is what columnist Kathleen Parker calls the great displaced middle, and they're clearly showing their votes.
John, is this just a protest to the president now saying, get your act together, we expect a little bit more from you towards our direction, or is this something that could translate to November as well?
Let's see if it continues. One cannot really say where it's going right now or offer an accurate analysis. A number of people, including my colleague Audrey Hudson, herself a Kentuckian, suspects that the administration's war on coal, which has caused some political blowback in West Virginia and Pennsylvania already, has spread to Kentucky. I don't know what the outcome is, except one thing. I'm going to pay a bit more attention to these primaries in which Barack Obama is, quote, unopposed, unquote.
Apparently so. Well, the president has had plenty of FaceTime lately. He had the G8 summit at Camp David, then immediately went to the NATO summit in Chicago, which was a little more boisterous, both inside and outside. You and I were talking beforehand about the differences between himself and the new French president, François Hollande, in terms of what the exit strategy ought to be in Afghanistan. Hollande wants out yesterday, basically, and Obama says at the end of 2014. So do you get the sense that NATO's on the same page here on how fast and how it's going to work?
Well, I'm not sure where NATO will go. This has been a NATO mission, not a U.S. mission. And when partners decide to leave a particular mission sooner rather than later, it shows that the team is not on the same page. I can't speak for any of the other countries, many of whose leaders are going to be determined later rather than now. In the case of France's newly elected president, Mr. Hollande, he made it clear throughout the campaign he wants out ASAP. At our last briefing before their meeting, White House Press Secretary Jay Carney told my colleagues and me in the White House Press Corps that he would hope that when President Hollande talks about policy, it's just that, and that he would look at the situation realistically as it is now. That's Washington East for saying, we hope that he's flexible. He wasn't flexible. He said exactly what he did in the campaign. And it also means that the president of France and of the United States, after meeting for the first time, have not exactly started off on the same foot.
John, let's get back to electoral politics for a little bit. While you were in Europe, the longest-serving Republican in the Senate, Richard Lugar, was soundly defeated in the primary as he was seeking a seventh term. Richard Murdoch will be the GOP nominee. Now some of the Tea Party types say the man who was also elected that very same day out in Utah, Orrin Hatch, needs to go. Hatch almost avoided a primary at the convention, but he's still got one. And State Senator Dan Lillenquist, who is saying it's time for Hatch to hang it up. But Hatch has now just secured the nomination of Sarah Palin, which he certainly hopes will mean the conservatives don't abandon him. What do you expect his fate to be out there?
I expect that Orrin Hatch is going to win. If Dan Lillenquist could not stop him at a state convention, which technically attracts more Tea Parties and more conservative activists than a primary in general, he's not going to be able to stop him among the Republican electorate as a whole. You mentioned Sarah Palin's endorsement. I would point out that the usual suspects, Club for Growth and Senator Jim DeMint's Political Action Committee, which usually weigh in for challengers such as Lillenquist, have stayed away from Orrin Hatch. The only group that goes out after him is Freedom Works. And I would just say that he's in a much stronger position than Dick Lugar was or some of the other people who face these stiff challenges. I'll say it's Hatch 60-40.
John, last topic. We mentioned you are off on a special trip to Europe. Some of that time was spent in France right around the time of the election where Hollande defeated Nicolas Sarkozy in a pretty tight race. Some of the aftermath and analysis of that suggests that France, along with Greece and parts of Germany, this was a major anti-austerity vote. Did you get that vibe, or is there something more to it?
There's more to it than that. And remember, Mr. Hollande became the first socialist president of France in 17 years with 50.4% of the vote. Nicolas Sarkozy was burdened by the dour economy, as have other European leaders been burdened. He became the 11th European leader to go down since the Eurozone crisis began. However, he also had a combative and prickly personality, and there was always this sense of brinkmanship and confrontation with leaders of other countries and within the EU. I talked to two people who had actually voted for him who said that on the subway the day after the vote, there was a feeling of relief. Let's get this behind us and start a fresh page. So it cannot be a complete repudiation of Sarkozyism, but more Sarkozy himself. One other thing. Nearly half the country voted against socialism. France has parliamentary elections in June. It could well be that the Conservative Party, formerly led by Mr. Sarkozy, holds on to the National Assembly, which means that they, and not President Hollande, will appoint the prime minister and cabinet, and they'll have to have a cohabitation, which means a lot of the policies Mr. Hollande articulated won't see the light of day. That'll be very interesting to watch.
It certainly will, and fascinating how quickly the transition happens after the election in France. It was just a little over a week when the change happened there. John, great to have you back. We'll talk to you later.
Au revoir, mon ami.
John Guzzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.